good to be in the house of the Lord, huh?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I agree. Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord for the privilege of being up here and to give out his word to you. And I pray you are blessed by it. And so the title of my message is How to Maintain Your Spiritual Health. Amen. I want to ask you several questions. Are you satisfied where you are spiritually? I want you to think about it. Do you want more of God? Are you hungry and thirsty? Do you want to go a little deeper, a little further? Do you think you have gotten all that God has for you? Do you want to be full to overflowing?
Yes.
Well, then you're in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. You know how we all need to get a physical every now and then. For some, we have a physical every 6 months. For others, a yearly checkup. And if we want to keep our bodies in good physical condition, we need to do those things, right? So what do you think about your spiritual health? Do you need a checkup right now? Well, if you think so, it's time for a spiritual checkup. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Spiritual health is just as obvious as physical health, okay? How do we know that? Well, you know when people aren't feeling well physically because it shows on the way they look and act. Especially with somebody, I thought of hay fever. I remember when our relatives had hay fever and she would always sneeze and her eyes would always cry and then she would cough sometimes because of the, but you can see it. Well, spiritual health is just as obvious as physical health. So, and it's all, you know, just like it's, you can see it in the physical, you can also see it in the spiritual. And what I mean by that is that when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they radiate the glow of the Holy Spirit. And you know, Rhonda and her mom came to see us yesterday, and we were talking about someone that we know, and she was telling me, I don't know how to explain this. So Rhonda, this is for you. I don't know how to explain this person, but every time I see this person, he's got a glow about him, a glow. And you know, she was saying the truth because he did have a glow. So let's go. Remember, I'm going to say it again. When someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they radiate the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans 12:11 in the King James Version. And we're going to, it says, but I'm not going to, well, let me go this way. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I want you to see that word, fervent. What does that mean, to be fervent in spirit? I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. It says, having or displaying a passionate intensity. Are we passionate for the Lord, as we sang about tonight? Are we really passionate about serving God? And then the rest of it says, hot, burning, or glowing. James Moffat's translation says, maintain the spiritual glow. It's very important that we maintain the spiritual glow in our lives. Because why? That's the will of the Lord for our lives. He wants us to maintain the glow of His Spirit. Maintaining the glow is God's will for all of us. Why? Because it's written in the Word. I just read it to you. And we know that God's will, God's Word is His will. Now, I'm going to read it in another two more translations of Romans 12 and 11. The first one is the Message Bible. It says, don't burn out. keep yourself fueled and aflame. And then in the Amplified Bible, it says, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. I want you to examine yourselves tonight spiritually, because this is where we are. Are you keeping yourself fueled and aflame? Are you burning with the glow of the Spirit? Now let's go to Ephesians 5 and 18 in the King James Version. And it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek words for be filled with the Spirit means be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. We are to maintain a constant experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual, ongoing action, not something that occurs just one time. Let me give you an example. When I was born again, and I wanted everything God had for me, and I would hear them preach on being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to be filled. So one day, as they had an altar call, there was a lady in our church at that time, and she came to pray with me and my twin sister. And she prayed and asked the Lord if, we wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, because I wanted it so much, God gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right then and there, I was filled, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, you know, the will of God for our lives is that we be all filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only filled, but to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He says we are to continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a just, like I said, it's not a just a one-time experience. You got to constantly be being filled. Good spiritual health is recognizable. If good spiritual health were not recognizable, you wouldn't know if a person was filled or not. When a person's spiritual health is poor, they won't have the glow or fervency of the Spirit. So I want you to check yourselves out, because I want you to be filled. One thing that causes a Christian to lose fervency is unforgiveness. Now, that's just one thing, but you have to search your heart to see if you have lost fervency. Now, again, I would say unforgiveness is one of them. You can't maintain the glow if you are holding a grudge against another person. That's a big no-no. Let's go to Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. If you look at this, it says first two evils. One, they have forsaken me. They have walked out on me, abandoned me, and gave up on me. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever walked out on God? I think there's many people today that have done that. They have abandoned their Father and given up on Him. And then you see they tried to do their own thing and dug a well for themselves, but their well had no water in it. They were broken cisterns. Mark 11:25-26 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Does it say to hold on to stuff? Does it say, you know, just because somebody's hurt you? And you know, a lot of people are angry at God also. They're mad at God for maybe he didn't answer the prayer like they thought it should be. So I'll go on. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Man, when I read that, I went, ooh, Lord, I sure don't want you not to forgive me if I'm holding unforgiveness towards my brother or my sister, my husband, my family, you, Lord, because I sure want you to forgive me. So in Luke 6:37 says, judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. And this is what I want you to focus on. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. It doesn't say God's going to forgive you first and you haven't forgiven. It says, no, you forgive, then I will forgive you. So when we don't forgive, this is where it hits home. We forsake God's plan and his ways for us. Do you want that to be, if you don't live in forgiveness, walk in forgiveness? See, he said you're abandoning him. So when we forsake God's plan and his ways, then we haven't forgiven. When we forsake God's ways and follow another way, we won't prosper. Is that what you want? If that's happening, when you don't forgive, unforgiveness and holding grudges will cause your vessel to leak. You become a broken cistern when you hold something in your heart against another person. God is saying for us, there's too much unforgiveness. You can see it in what we hear, especially sometimes in the news, you see all kind of stuff going on. So much hate, so much unforgiveness, so much blame, so much pointing the finger at each other. God said, it's time. You heard what he said tonight. Wake up. Wake up. We need to change. Not for his sake, it's for our sake. Then, when you become a broken cistern, eventually you will become an empty cistern. Why? Because when your heart is not right with God, there's no way to maintain the glow or the fervency of spirit. No way. Let's go to Psalms 23. This will give you a picture of God's people being anointed with fresh oil. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I want to ask you, is your cup running over? Well, my cup runs over means to have more than enough and abundance extend beyond the limits. Extend beyond the limits. Having more than enough. That's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's more than enough for us. When you are filled with the Spirit, your cup is full and running over. I'm going to say that again. When you are filled with the Spirit, your cup is full and running over. Okay? Is your cup half full tonight? If it is, you need to get a fresh anointing so that your cup will run over. And this is how you do it. We need to stay in God's presence. You see how the Lord honors that when we stay in his presence here at church in our services. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. You need to practice at home getting into His presence, worshiping Him, honoring Him. I don't know what your time may look like, but you need to set a time out for the Lord. Maybe you turn off that TV or whatever is distracting you from being in His presence. And we need to stay in His Word, not just reading over the Word, but study the Word. Miss Lydia said tonight that she has a Bible study at her workplace. They study the Word. And you know what she did? She got a Bible that says study. And so she's got more things that she can learn to help others come along the way at her workplace. Isn't that beautiful? We've got to stay in the Word until we receive a fresh anointing, until we are refilled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, there is one initial filling in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like I said before. I was born again, and I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was, because I received it. But now I'm going to tell you, don't let your time, you know, like when you, that's over 60 years ago that I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if I wouldn't have allowed myself to be in God's presence, being in His Word, receiving the fresh anointing to receive the refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, you'll be dry. You'll be so dry if you're not constantly having that in your life to be refilled with the baptism, with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's go to Acts 4, 1 through 13, and I'm going to get it out of my... And while Peter and John were talking to the people, the priest and the captain, who was in charge of the temple area and of the temple guard and the Sadducees, came up to him, or them, being extremely disturbed and thoroughly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in the case of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day because it was evening. But many of those who heard the message of salvation believed in Jesus and accepted Him as the Christ. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, the magistrate and the elders and scribes, Sanhedrin, Jewish high court, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas and the high priest were there, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all others who were of the high priestly descent. When they had put the men in front of them, they repeatedly asked, by what sort of power, or in what name, that is, by what kind of authority did you do this healing? Then Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, if we are being put on trial today to interrogate us for a good deed done to benefit a disabled man, and as to how this man has been restored to health,
ooh, that's good.
Let it be known, clearly understood by all of you and by all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you demanded be crucified by the Romans and whom God raised Him from the dead, in this name That is, by the authority and power of Jesus, this man stands here before you in good health. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, but which became chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved, for God has provided the world no alternative for salvation. Now, when the men of the Sanhedrin's Jewish high court saw the confidence and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained ordinary men, they were astonished and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. Now, I want you to see several things here. In verse 3, Peter and John were taken in for questioning by the religious authorities because the lame man at the gate Beautiful had been healed. We see in verse 8 that Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when Peter and John, if you heard all the scriptures from verses 8 through 12, how Peter spoke with boldness. In their lives, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, as you see, filled with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, their cups were running over. So the disciples demonstrated boldness because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they were also spoke the word with boldness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps you to have boldness to speak God's word, just like you heard tonight. So in verse 13, we see that they saw boldness. See, on you it's recognizable too. And they were unlearned, untrained, and with no educational skills. They were not schooled. And yet, they saw or recognized, as the Bible said, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So when you are with Jesus and you are in the Word and you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, people will see it. They will know it. It's recognizable. So what was recognizable among the people was how much education they did not have. They recognized that they had been with Jesus, and they had knowledge of Jesus. Now, if you're not in the Word, how will you have knowledge of Jesus if you haven't been with Him like they were? So that's why I say it's so important that you get with Jesus. And it says in John 1:14, it tells us how they knew the Word of God made flesh. They had the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is what gave them the bold, overflowing testimony. If you lost your boldness, you need a fresh anointing. Peter and John maintain the spiritual glow of the Holy Spirit by being so filled up with the Holy Spirit. And they had a testimony that was a lifestyle for them. God's supernatural power operated through them as the Spirit willed. Okay, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the supernatural power of God will be in our lives as well. Do you want to be an empty cistern or full reservoir? Which one are you? you can receive a fresh anointing and be a full reservoir. When we receive a fresh anointing and be full to overflowing, we won't be an empty cistern. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be a manifestation of the supernatural power of God in your life. We need the power. We can't just sit around and wait on God to do everything that needs to be done. See, He does His part. We've got to do our part. So if you want God to do your part, His part, you've got to be filled with the Spirit and filled up with His Word. And if you want the supernatural power of God operating in you, in your life, stay filled up. Okay, let's do all of this again. We have to maintain our spiritual health. We have to maintain our spiritual glow of the Holy Spirit. We have to stay in the Word. Let's be sure the Word dwells in you richly in all wisdom. Stay in His presence. Let's be full with the Spirit of God to overflowing. Live a life of obedience to God. Let us not forsake Him, the fountain of living waters. And in everything we do, whether it be word or deed, let us glorify the Lord. Now, I have a story that I'm going to read. And Brother Hagin wrote this in one of the books that I have, and I'm going to read it to you. And it's about a Baptist minister. He said, a Baptist minister attending a conference where I was teaching on the Holy Spirit came up to me afterwards quite angry. I've got the Holy Spirit just as much as you have. I'm satisfied. And I don't speak in tongues. I've got the Holy Spirit when I was born again, he said. Brother Hagin said, certainly, glory to God. If you satisfied, I'm satisfied. I don't want to give you anything more than you want. If you don't want any more of God, that's just fine with me. I just went on a little further with the Lord, had another drink of the Spirit, and got full. If you want to stop without being full, that's fine with me. If you're satisfied that you've got all God has for you, fine. And the guy says, well, no, no. He said, I'm sure I don't have all that God has for me. Well, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He said, yes. Do you want to be filled? I believe I have the Holy Spirit. I said, I'll not argue about that. Certainly you do. You've been born of the Spirit, but do you want to be filled? He said, yes. I laid my hands on him, and he started talking in tongues right there. He got full. Glory to God. So my question to you, again, is do you want those that aren't filled with the baptism and the Holy Spirit? Tonight's your night. You can get filled because the Word of God says you can. It's up to you to want it. God has the gift. You wouldn't buy your child a gift without giving it to them. They want it, and they want it now. Do you want the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You can get it. You got to want it. Just like this Baptist minister, when his understanding opened and God revealed it to him, he said yes. And there is another, if you want to be filled, we can pray with you tonight for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those that are filled, if you want a fresh anointing as we read about tonight, it's yours to have the refilling of the Holy Spirit. If it's been a long time that you've spoken in your heavenly language that God's given you, it's time to get refilled. So the altars are open. It's up to you. God's done his part. It's up to you to do your part. Amen.